Hi, my name is Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for the Visual C++ team, and I'm here today with two members of the team to talk to you about Linux and our extension for Visual Studio. All right, so welcome to Going Native 51. Today I'm here with Mark Goodner and Ion Todirel. Can you guys introduce yourself and correct any mispronunciations of your names?
Hi, I'm Ion Todirel. I'm the primary lead dev on the Linux extension.
And I'm Mark Goodner. I'm the program manager for the Linux extension and some IoT tooling here.
Okay, great. So today we're going to talk about the Linux extension again. We talked about this like really briefly in our build extravaganza version of Going Native, I think number 49. But today we kind of wanted to drill in on it and talk about this. So can you tell us a little bit like who's using it? Like how's this going?
Well, it's going pretty well so far. We've got about 13,000 downloads. We've got around, you know, in the hundreds on daily users. We've got about 1,000 active monthly that we're seeing. So people are using it. We're seeing usage across a variety of places. We kind of started this extension thinking about IoT and devices. So we knew if we started small that we'd be able to get big. And the big interesting thing we did during build was we got it working with desktop applications, which Liz demoed in the last episode that she was in, where we could actually break in and debug a graphical desktop app on Linux. So we've got the full gamut. We're seeing people use it for devices. We're definitely talking to some major customers who are developing applications that are running on hardware that's not a traditional computer, but Linux is running on it. Anything that can run Linux runs Linux. And we're also seeing people using it in particularly enterprise situations where people like Visual Studio and they want to continue using Visual Studio on the desktop. On Windows, but they have Linux applications or Linux services that they need to maintain, and they've been having to leave Visual Studio to use another tool in order to work on those projects. And so we're seeing people start to do that.
Yeah, I was actually surprised myself at how frequently it would turn up that somebody wasn't even shipping on Windows at all would still be using Visual Studio for Linux, even before this thing existed.
Right, yeah, and we're definitely seeing some of those users show up. So we're seeing people who, they do all their development on Windows, and they get their application running there, and they even debug using R compilers on Windows. And then they go through an exercise where they then get that code over to the Linux side and running and building there, you know, using the GCC compilers.
Yeah, and then hope that there are no bugs that they have.
Right, and then they have to deal with working through that. But so what we've got with this extension is pretty great, and we've heard from some people that they really like that we're remote compile. And remote debug because it lets them actually deal with the issues that they're having on the Linux side, and they know that they can trust the output of the compiler because it's being compiled. It is the native compiler on Linux. Yeah.
Got it. And actually, I guess we should point out that this is the Linux extension for Visual Studio, which is distinct from the Visual Code stuff.
The VS Code stuff is there is C++ support in VS Code now. That support is an extension you can go get. But that's for when you're running on Linux. You can use VS Code running on Linux and work with your C++ code, or you can work on the Mac with your C++ code, or on Windows with C++ within VS Code. But this is Visual Studio with C++ remote to Linux.
Right, like more of a pairing scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now I guess we have across the Visual Studio family a story for Linux, you know, depending on however you want to do it. If you want to have your primary dev environment be a Linux experience, we still have you kind of covered with Visual Studio code, and
right.
This is the sort of full Visual Studio experience, but it's with an extension.
Right. So if you love the power of Visual Studio, you want to stay in Visual Studio, that's what you're comfortable and familiar with, but you have tasks you need to do on Linux, or you know that you need to work with C++ on Linux, you can do that. And of course, Visual Studio supports other languages on Linux as well. You can work with Node, and you know you can work with Node applications remotely on Linux, with Python remotely on Linux, and now C++ on Linux.
Right, and so those sort of hybrid applications, you can still have a kind of one-stop shopping kind of scenario.
Right.
Great. So how often are you guys shipping at this point?
Gosh, like every couple of weeks, I guess, right?
We have 4 releases so far.
Yeah.
Since build, wow.
Right, yeah.
Just
like
March.
Around every two weeks, up to once a month or something like that.
Right, and we're not publicizing all of these releases. If you've installed it, you'll get a toast notification that there's an update that you can go get. But we're not blogging about every single one of these releases. We did do an update recently on the blog to talk about the new functionality, that kind of a roll-up post of everything that we've done. Some of the things that we've done are more kind of internal to the extension, fixing crashes, issues that come up. And we want to turn those around as quickly as we can without waiting for a blog post or something, or maybe it's not even newsworthy. But sometimes we roll features in there as well, and then we kind of wait till the point that we've got enough to talk about.
Got it. So let's break at this point, and we can kind of go and take a look at a deep dive demo on this scenario.
Okay.
All right, so what we've got is some new features we've got in the Linux extension. So what I want to show you first is under the project properties. We've got on the debugging property page, we can now specify a working directory where the code is actually going to use for saving files and stuff. And then I've got a ability to pass command line arguments, in this case, what I want my output file to be. This is the code we've got up in our blog post that basically takes some input parameters in terms of where to save a file, and then pauses to take some input from the command window. So if I hit remote GDB debugging and start debugging, we'll see that the Linux console window has already popped open here. If that is not open, you can find it under the debug menu under Linux console right here. We'll activate that if it's not there. And so if I hit F5 after this first breakpoint and continue, it's going to get to the next prompt and wait for me. So if you're waiting here and you don't see the Linux console window, you can go to debug and Linux console, and then you'll have this prompt waiting for you here where I can tell it I'm running from Visual Studio. I hit my second command prompt, or my second breakpoint, I should say, and you can see here that I've got my argument from the property page that I passed to the program for visitors.txt. So if I continue, it's going to output that to my file. And I can go back over to PuTTY, and I can look under temp. You can see the file is there. And then I can check what's in there. There's two in here because I ran this program once before without recording the video. So there you have it. That's some of the new capabilities we've got in the extension. Thanks.
OK, thanks for the demo. That was awesome. So can you tell me about like what's new in this update recently?
Right, sure. So what we showed in the demo were some of the new functionality that came out in the most recent update, especially the console window. So now there's a console window in Visual Studio that will show you the output from your remote Linux application, and it can also take input. So you can interact with command line applications you're running on Linux. We've also added the ability to pass command line arguments to your applications and the ability to set a working directory. So those were some of the big ones. We did some other stuff, kind of more internal sort of stuff. One of the things we saw, even in our telemetry, was we had a huge drop-off in acquisition when we first released. We had a dependency on the Android tools in Visual Studio, mm-hmm. and that was strictly so that we could get the debugger infrastructure from the Android tools. It's called the MI Engine. It's open source out there. It's how Visual Studio's debug engine integrates with GDB mm-hmm. And ADB for Android. And what was happening was people didn't have those tools installed, and so they would have to stop and go and get them, or they may not come back. And so what we did was we took and we packaged the MI Engine with us, so it reduced the complexity of our install a lot. So that was kind of one of the improvements we made.
We did some performance improvements. We cut the number of connections we're making and when we're making them, so it's a little bit more optimal now. We're still working on that front, and we're going to make it awesome so that it's like super fast, you know, maybe to the point where we're caching the connections and things that right now you take in Windows for granted, incremental build, incremental copy, all of that. So we'll have that, and it will be much, much awesome, faster.
All right, full-on awesome. All right, now that we're kind of talking to real people actually using this thing, what are the most common like tips and tricks that you think people could use so we can kind of skip them the steps mm-hmm. of trying to puzzle it out themselves?
Right, and I think in the most recent blog post, we have a section on this, and we'll continue to update that over time. The original announcement post, I'll point out, we're going to keep evergreen. So as we release updates, we'll always integrate that content in there. So there's one place you can go. We'll have update posts if you just want to know what's new, but we'll always keep that post current.
Great. So and we'll have a link to that down
yes,
at the bottom.
Yes, we will. It's like AKA MS VS Linux. So it's pretty simple. Okay. But one of the ones that we hear is like people want to know what is the GCC command line that we're outputting on the remote, you know, what exactly is happening?
So you can kind of debug any build problems?
Yeah, exactly. So they can see, like, are we passing the right flags? Was there something missing? And what you really want for that is you want your reverse build output. And so what you need to do is you need to search for, in the little quick input window in Visual Studio, search for verbosity. And when you find that setting in the tools options, under Projects and Solutions, Build and Run. Then you can change the verbosity setting to diagnostic, and then you'll get the full spew of exactly what's happening.
Of what things we are doing to your Linux machine.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
Of how MS Build is driving your remote Linux compilation.
We actually made a fix because many users had some questions, and we made a fix. Now the error message says in the error list exactly how to get that. So, you know, when you look at an error now, you'll get exactly how to get there.
And the other one that we kind of want to point out is that for IntelliSense, you need your include files. And so on the blog post, we've got an example of a PuTTY utility you can use with just one line to just get all your files over your local Windows box. Of course, you can set up Samba and mount a share or something, but you want to go to your VC directories on the project properties page and set that wherever your include files are to light up your IntelliSense.
By the way, we have different kind of users. Some of them are not super familiar with Visual C++ and don't know about property pages. But if you're looking for something awesome, that property page will be the absolute central place where you can see all of your compiler command lines and settings and all of that, debugger settings.
Yeah.
So yeah, please do use it.
Okay. And I think one of our big points with this episode is we really wanted people to know that we're trying to do this a little bit more in the open than maybe we do. I think overall we're trying to do almost everything more in the open. But this one in particular, kind of to match up to the Linux way of doing things, we're trying to be a little bit more open. So I guess my next series of questions is going to be what are the things that you're getting asked about the most? Because I think we want to know more in the comments about what people are looking for.
And I want to point out, a lot of the things that we've addressed were because of things we were hearing from people. So people were leaving comments on the blog or on the extension gallery page.
Down on Reddit.
Reddit and Twitter and email. We give out our email addresses and we hear from people directly. But so any of those ways, we want to hear from you because that helps us prioritize our backlog. It may be something we haven't heard of. We've seen crashes and stuff like that we had a difficulty reproducing. Because of the differences in people's environments, there's a lot of Linux systems out there.
Yeah, the diversity here is high.
High diversity. That's one of the reasons we need to hear from people.
And actually, the things that we were hearing more about, we're not hearing about them anymore because we actually fixed them. So the discussion is always progressing to new things that we don't have yet. And
got it.
As we get to do them, we're not hearing them anymore because we.
Quick follow-up on that then. So first of all, obviously people should be checking to make sure that they have the latest updates because we're probably pushed to fix for something that you'll care about by now. And then what's our preferred way for people to contact us on this?
One of the great ways that you can find us, we have an email address you can send to, which is vcpplinux-support@microsoft.com. So I hope we can flash
which is
that
a
on
fancy way of saying Mark and Eon.
Mark and Eon. I'm Robot Dad on Twitter, so you can find me there. That's really easy.
We also appreciate the emails that you guys send. It's really, really valuable when you send us emails and tell us about your issues. We are totally listening to those and applying and fixing.
Repros. We love repros. So if there's something, if you can package something up that we can that reproduces your problem, it really helps us, unblock and iterate over it quicker.
And so the discussion, the comments tab on the extension page is also really awesome. So you guys keep doing that, comments on issues.
Great. And so what are the things that we're hearing the most that so that people know what we hear you, we hear you. What are the we hear you, we hear you?
The performance stuff you were talking about, right?
Yeah, we're working on that right now, actually. And we're striving to make it much better. And I think we can do it and pretty cheaply, too. So you'll hear back on us from that. We're totally going to fix that for you guys.
Okay. What other top asks do you have?
Cross-compilation.
Okay.
We're hearing you. We know that it's interesting, right? Because
there are tribes in this one, I think.
There are tribes in this one. It's because we do all this customer development stuff here now, and you develop these hypotheses, and you go out and you validate or invalidate them. And this is one that I can invalidate or validate very easily,
true and false.
It's true and
false. It's very Schrodinger cat.
There are people who never want to compile, to do cross-compilation on Windows and then put those binaries somewhere else. They don't trust that. They don't want that in a million years. There's other people who are like, that would be great. My machine on Windows is much faster. And I could compile faster and I could be done. There's a lot of other people who just only trust the remote compilation and they will only compile there. And there may even be reasons for that. Some of the larger enterprises we work with, there's money at stake in the sort of services that they run that deal with money. And so they want to know, they have an audit process around how the code is handled and built.
I see.
You know, so there's all these processes around it, so they would never build locally. But we know cross-compilation is a need. It's particularly interesting for devices like the Edison, right? So Intel's little
where you basically can't build.
Well, you can. The Edison you can build.
But the Arduino you can't, right?
The Arduino you can't, but now we're out of Linux land.
Yeah.
Although I suppose there's one, there is that one Arduino board that has Linux on it. It's got WRT on it.
Right, the one with the networking on
Yeah. So have we tried WRT?
I don't think we did, no.
We should try WRT.
I
there's so many Linux distros.
More tests! Hooray!
I got to install it, but I didn't connect to it yet.
Yeah, and so that's an example, like, you know, even for the cross-compilation, you know, when you get into these small devices, like, what are even the architectures people are targeting? X86, you know, sure, the Edison's an X86 processor. ARM, obviously, we've already got Raspbian support. But when you talk about WRT, WRT runs on those little router devices, right?
Right.
And so you're now talking about MIPS.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have MIPS. And
someone was actually using PPC, Power PC.
Yeah, we got a PPC request, which is kind of
64, no less.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what else? What else are you hearing from people? What are your top?
Something we're trying to kind of re-architecture, maybe like engineer differently. Not that this is bad, it's that right now we have, for debugging, we have a client-server architecture where on the device or on the Linux machine you run GDB server and then GDB connects to it. The problem with that, though, is that you can run into compatibility issues because GDB might not matching the GDB server version. So something we're trying to make a little bit better and maybe compatible is running GDB directly over the shell on our pipeline, so that will improve some compatibility, but it's not necessarily better because you can still have like WRT where you cannot have GDB there. Might have GDB server because it's much smaller, so
This
is another thing that we're trying to make.
A lot of diversity.
More flexible.
And it's interesting because our limitations are more around the capabilities of what's on the remote system than it is about distributions. And so, you know, in the blog post, we talk up at the top about what we need installed on the remote box. But in this last update, we did Eon did some things to target even, you know, some other Unix systems. And we don't have debugging everywhere yet, but you can actually now connect to OpenBSD systems.
Or Mux.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any other ones? What else do you want to tell these lovely people at home?
We hear you. Windows has Bash. We know.
We
know. We're working with the Windows team to try and get this extension working.
The Windows 10.
The Windows 10 has Bash now. It's pretty cool. The Linux subsystem that gets you Ubuntu on Windows. We are playing with it. We are talking with that team. We don't have anything to share yet, but we've heard you.
Yes, we know.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Okay, great. So unless there's anything else, we're good to go. All right, thank you for watching. All right, and so that is episode 51 in the can. Right now, we've got about 8 members of the Visual C++ teams getting ready to get on an airplane to head on out to Oulu, Finland. And so we'll be back at the end of the month to talk about what happened in the most recent standards meeting. See you then.